We're back with more of Lake Effect, and I'm Bonnie North. The fingerstyle guitar program at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee not only trains the next generation of guitarists, but it also brings in world-class musicians to teach and perform. Tonight, two giants of the guitar world, Peter Lang of Minnesota and Lucas Michalidis from Australia, will give a free concert at the Zelazo Center. The two men are both guitarists, but they have very different styles. Lang plays the country blues, cakewalks, and rags, while Michalidis is more lyrical and atmospheric. Because their sounds are so different, we asked them each to perform a song. Michalidis will play in a moment, but right now we're hearing Lang with his version of Snake Array's Come and Gone. Peter Lang, thank you so much. Snake Array's Come and Gone, and you are listening to us in the Lake Effect Performance Studio. And now, Lucas Michalidis is going to entertain us, and the tune is Picking for Olive. Wow, that was wonderful. Lucas Michalidis, thank you so much. And Peter Lang also in the studio. And you gentlemen are here to perform tonight at Milwaukee Unplugged. And how did you guys get together? Because you don't normally play together, do you? Was this just like a programming thing and you just got together? Or
yeah, that sounds...
Yes.
That's the long answer and the short answer. Mm-hmm.
Had you played together before? Have you been on the same? So had you met before?
No. I met Peter last night for the first time, actually.
No.
And so this is the first time you're actually performing together here in the studio.
Yeah.
Right. That's pretty
dining,
cool.
Dining together for lunch, and now we're playing in the studio, and then we're going to perform together, and perhaps we'll go out and bend an elbow or something.
After that, yeah, maybe the worldwide tour is coming next, right?
Yeah. That's correct.
Yeah.
A lot of merchandising as well.
Exactly.
To look forward to.
Got to work on that. Yeah.
T-shirts like this and that.
Yep. Well, Peter, you have been on the scene since the 60s doing this stuff, working with John Fahey and also Leo Kottke, who's been in, he's played for us as well. And I think I first heard you on a Tacoma release, a gazillion years ago.
Yes, gazillion, that's about right.
How has the guitar world changed in all of that time? Because you've been playing pretty much that whole time.
Well, it's interesting if you reflect back as to what was going on then. Radio was really pretty abysmal, but it was freeform. When the Telecommunications Act or whatever was came in and allowed the merger of all these radio stations. In those days, radio was very strong. Each radio station had its own programmer, and a lot of times the cream would rise to the top. And I think it would be very difficult. Paul McCartney even said if we were to come out today, we'd never make it. Real music is played on stations like this. And it gets tougher and tougher. There's really probably only 400 to 500 good radio stations left in this country, and it's hurt a lot of musicians. Okay, that's the bad side. The good side is when I left the music business, which I did several times in the late 70s, John Fahey and I joked about putting guitars in a closet like they did with the accordions in the 50s. And what's happened is young people are playing good music. I mean, not just fingerstyle, but jazz and classical, and it's taken off, and I think part of it is because the music is, commercial music is so bad, people just feel compelled to, well, if I'm going to listen to music, I'll make my own. So I think there is kind of a renaissance. You particularly see it in, you know, places like YouTube and MySpace and Facebook. It was really heartening for me last night, for example, to see all these young people in the audience. Yeah. I mean, times are changing, but I think also people are hungry for music, good music, and the joy of music, and that comes from participating. That comes from seeing live music, not buying, you know, or watching music videos, but to go see live music, to perform live music, to become part of it. And when I played in Europe, I didn't sell many CDs. I was in Ireland, and my tour manager said, well, in Ireland, if they have a choice of seeing a live show or buying a CD, they don't have much money. They'll do the live show every time. And that's something I say to people is, you know, if you want music, you have to support it. You have to support the live musicians. You have to go out. And people are doing that. I mean, it's very heartening.
Lucas, do you find that to be the case? You haven't been on the scene as long as Peter, but is that true?
Which aspect?
That you see more people participating, that young people are coming to music and they're playing and they're at your concerts and they're interested.
I'm not sure if that's been my experience, actually. Yeah, I'm not sure if it's entirely true, but certainly I agree with what Peter's saying about if you want the music and the art to survive, it's essential to be supporting it. And I remember reading once upon a time, it was this book written by an author, and she was saying, if you want to become a writer, make sure you buy a book a week because you're basically sustaining the industry. And I think that's a really great motto. And, you know, I'm not sure. I sometimes feel like this new youthful kind of internet generation seem to just expect everything for free. So I have sort of mixed opinions.
Yeah, the monetary part of it has never really quite worked out. So at least it hasn't so far, you know, for musicians.
Exactly.
And it's still a hard way to make a living.
I'd say it's more the model. Things like Spotify or whatever, you know, they're not being fair. They're not sharing properly. I think if they had a good system set up, like, you know, when Radiohead came out with their album, I don't know which one it was, where they said, pay whatever you want. I think the average price was $8 and it was a huge hit. And I don't think that consumers aren't willing to support the artists. I just don't think they have a means or a way to do it other than a performance or an MP3 on Spotify or iTunes or something.
People are kickstarting a lot. I've seen a lot of albums go that way. People are, you know, raising money to do it that way. Yeah. And I know that at least gets the initial cost of the album made. Whether it sustains the band or the performer afterwards, I'm not sure. But it seems to be another model that's popped up.
Sure.
Right. Yeah. And the people who are supporting those campaigns are their fans.
Yeah.
Are the people that appreciate their music and they want to help. And as I said, I think if there was a proper model, artists would be well supported. A phenomenon for me in the last 10 years is the rise of house concerts, where, you know, people are thrilled to bring you and pay you well or fairly and give you a nice meal and a chance to meet some great folks. And those for me have been more fun than big shows anytime. And I've had some big house concerts. I had one, there were 120 people there, but it was a rather large house. And it just stunned me. I made more money at that house concert than I did the whole rest of the tour combined, and sold CDs. And again, if there's a model that allows people to do this, to participate, to see, then I believe they will be supported. And I think we're seeing ways that that's happening.
What about touring? Are you guys touring a lot? I mean, Lucas, are you out on the road?
I don't do enough. Well, I've got a young family back home in Australia, so I do that to a limited degree. I'm involved in another group. It's like a Russian world music ensemble from Australia, and we do tour fairly regularly. But, yeah, with a solo thing, I do it occasionally. The reason why I'm here at the moment, I'm doing an artist in residence at the university, UWM, as part of the guitar sort of studies and degree course. So I know John Stropes quite well. And this is kind of, I don't know if I'd call this a tour, I'd call it a musical adventure, actually. And, it, you know, it's been wonderful for me because I've been doing some teaching, I've been taking some presentations and also performing, and it's been a really great exchange of fingerstyle information all around.
Well, and this program is unique.
It is. It's unlike anything in the world.
You guys both know John from quite a way back.
And, you know, I'm not convinced that a lot of Milwaukee is aware of what's happening at that place, but it's, you know, highly sought after place. You know, it's the envy of the whole world in terms of guitar program. There's nothing like it. And it's because of his, you know, John Stropes' commitment and integrity he's brought to it. And it's been a real pleasure for me to witness his workings with students and what, you know, he's really high kind of, he's very ambitious, you know, and cares. And it's been really great to see that, to be involved.
Peter, have you also been involved, like, in a residency here?
Not here, no.
Yeah.
You know, John and my relationship go way back. We wrote a book together, and we've done quite a bit together, and I've done quite a few things with John. I've never done a residency. And, you know, today that would be a little bit difficult. I actually am a legend in my spare time. I work part-time and also do my music, but I work for a company, Computer Support. And you were asking about touring. I stopped touring in 2008 in part because I'm getting old. It's hard to tour. Mm. The economy's been bad, and, you know, it just isn't worth it for me to, you know, go night after night for, you know, a little bit and then have a few nice concerts. So what I've been doing is mainly festivals or dates like this. I think I've only had 4 dates this year, and 3 of them have been festivals. They're fun. They pay well. They treat you well. And, you know, and then I just...
then you can go home.
And then I go home.
Yeah, which is kind of important, too.
And I have a family, too, so.
I want to end with music, and because you each have your own things, you know, we're going to each have you play an individual tune. Is there a possibility of getting you guys to jam on a thing together? I know you've never done it before, but.
Never done it. Unprecedented.
Well, let's wrap up, and then we'll see how.
We'll see how it goes.
Right,
all right.
If they hear a fifth song, we'll know it worked.
Exactly. There you go. If they don't, it's like, okay, it was a great idea. So, Lucas, do we want to start with you? Because we started with Peter at the top of the show. Sure. What are you going to play for us?
A very quick tune here. So this piece is entitled Breathe. And it's one that I've recently, actually both these pieces that we're hearing today, have recently been recorded on a new piece of work or new CD, I should say. This one takes me to my father's deathbed, basically. He was in death rattle. He had a death rattle for a couple of days before he passed away. So it just sort of takes me right there. Anyway, it's called Breathe. Thank you.
Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you so much. Lucas Michaelides with Breathe. And Peter, you're going to take us out with what?
Originally known as the Chalkline Walk, and later became Colored Aristocracy. It's a cakewalk from the 1840s. And I first heard it on Taj Mahal on the banjo. He did it on the banjo, and I mean, I guess he heard it from the New Lost City Ramblers or somewhat. I had no idea the history of it. I did bring you an album, Testament, which was kind of my testament to, it's all the music that I learned to play the guitar from. None of it I wrote myself, but it's kind of a journey back through the traditions that brought me forward, blues and country music and so forth.
That's guitarist Peter Lang with his version of Chalkline Walk. Before that, we heard Lucas Michaelides with his original tune, Breathe. The two guitarists hadn't met before yesterday, and they played together for the first time here in our studio. The tune they improvised together, Ain't Nobody's Business If I Do, is on our website, wuwm.com/lakeeffect, and it's very much worth a listen. You can hear all of the songs they performed there as well. Lang and Michaelides performed tonight at the Zelazo Center for the Performing Arts on the campus of UWM as part of the MKE Unplugged series. The concert begins at 7:30, and it's free. I'm Bonnie North. Thanks, as always, for tuning in today. We're looking forward to having you join us again tomorrow and every weekday morning at 10 for Lake Effect from listener-supported 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio, NPR in Milwaukee. Stay tuned. Fresh air comes your way next.